Tuesday night, Rabbi Yossi Moore. End the day this way.
Good to be back. I just want to share a few Muridiga thoughts and halachas which are relevant to our parasha. The number one is a machshava, a Muridiga rayon, if you think about it. The parasha begins with that, with the Torah giving a specific heta, gives a certain leniency to marry a Ishus Yifas Toya. Now, the question is, why did the Torah have to give a heta to marry Ishus Yifas Toya? Just say it's also unless she does a proper gerus. So Rashi already says, do you know why? Hashem was really put in the corner. Hashem didn't have a choice. Hashem knew that people can't withstand a temptation when faced with it. And therefore Hashem had to give the leniency of Ishus Yifas Toya. Says Rashi, Lo dibra Torah ela keneged yetzahara. Hashem had to deal with the Yetzahara. Hashem ain't a Kodesh Baruch Hu matira. If Hashem wouldn't be matir her, he saw Ena be'isa, he'd marry her be'isa. As we state in Rashi, that Chazal. Oh, Zot Rebbe Vigda Muridik. Muridik. We have to realize which people went to war. Which were the people that went to war? Was it the regular layman that went to war? Or perhaps it was a tzaddik. The Gemara in Soita Daf Mem Dalad Amud Aleph says that we dash in the posuk. What it says, Hayori, Ish Hayori, Verach Haleva. The Gemara dashens, Zehu Hamisiori Me'avirus Shebiyodai. A person is very, very nervous about his Avirus, which the Mepharshim explain. We're talking about Tzaddikim. So we're talking, in fact, the Balaturim says, the beginning of this week's parasha, he says, that is the Smichus between Kisei Tzila Melchama Alayvecha, when you go to Melchama, and the last Pasuk of Shaftim says, he's talking about Egla Rufa, Va'ata Tevai Hadom Anoki Mikibecha, Kisase Hayosha Be'ini Hashem. Only those people which are Sase Hayosha, which are Tzaddikim, with Sase Hayosha Be'ini Hashem, only those go to Melchama. That means we know clearly the people going to Melchama are Anoshim Tzaddikim. That is a famous Maisa, they told the Brisk Rav that made fun of how the Yidden did it, and there was only two people left, two old Zakenim left to fight the war, and the Brisk Rav said he forgot the main part of the story, that they Taka won. That's the famous story. And we have to realize here, we're talking about Anoshim Tzaddikim that are going to war. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu found it a need to give the Tzaddikim a heta to marry Aisha Sefasar. You can imagine, Hashem had to give a heta. Who's he giving a heta to? To Anoshim Tzaddikim. That even them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that there's a reason to be mati Eishes Yifas Toya. Let's move straight into this. There's a lot to say in a short amount of time. We're going to just cruise through the parasha with a few thoughts, more natiya to halacha, more directed at halacha, and I'll just pass through a few pages and mention a few interesting points, which number one is, there's an interesting lav, which is loy solin. Shteit loy solin, as the Issa, when it comes to a mace, not to allow the night to pass. So if, let's say, there's a nifta, not to allow, for no reason, for stam no reason, to allow the night to pass for no reason. If a person's waiting for a relative, that's fine. So the Pesachichon, Maisa Shahoya, where there was a man that was nifta, and we wanted simonim, they wanted proofs, they wanted to wait for someone to come in order to identify the mace, in order to give a heta to the wife that she can get married. So when you say, when the Torah says, Lo Solin, don't allow the mace to left overnight for no reason, what would you say if we want to wait in order for someone to come from afar to identify? Nowadays people can maybe identify from afar, Efsha. But at least in those days, the Piskachov discusses that, and he ends off at Tzorachin. He's not sure whether it's an infringement of this lav of Leisolin, and he says, Efsha, if there's children, and there's children going to say Kaddish, Efsha, then perhaps we can say it's Letzorachoy Shalmeis. That's the interesting point that he wants to say. Otherwise, there will be a lav of Leisolin. Let's move on. Yes. No. L'chvoida shal meis, we say it's okay. Sorry, l'chvoida shal meis, if it's the kavod of the meis, then we can wait even many days. If it's for no other reason, for just maybe identifying for maybe the wife, that wouldn't be enough of a reason. Mitzad le'solen. Next one. And we said, we got the Issa. No. Shulchanoruch, Shinon Gimel, it says every single time. Next one. We got the Issa of le'silbash. We've got a lot to get through. Kanana heard this week's parasha kiseitze. Leisilbash is the Issa of Leisilbash for a man to wear the garments of a lady and a lady to wear the garments of a man. Maisa Shahoya, a few weeks ago, it was the middle of the summer holidays, and there was a lady that needed a Yeshua. She was a Choyle Sheyesh by Sakona, and the Mishpocha wanted to give a segula. Now, segulas, there's a very big range of variety of segulas, and in that family they had the access of a Rebbe's gattel. I don't want to say which Rebbe, there was a Rebbe's gattel that they had access to, and it was known as a segula. They would take the gattel and they would give it to the chayla, a chayla shesh basakana, tell him or her to wrap it around her, and to put on a gattel, and that would be a segula for her. Okay, as long as we have to take it as is. Okay, the shayla is, can they put the gattel, which a gattel I believe is a malbush-ish, is a man's garment, can she wear the gattel in a zakis?
So, mixed between men and women, and woman should live as a man. That is one of the main problems.
So now over here, this is a beggar's mouth, a beggar dish. Okay, the truth is, sorry, the case was really, if it's a chodesh yesh b'sakona, it could be okay. But my shayla is, what happens if it's a chodesh ain b'sakona? The case, it wasn't so clear whether it was a masukun. Can she wear a beggar ish? Number one that came to my mind was
outside beggar.
Oh, okay, well, we're going to get to that. So you have to tell her to wear it underneath her garment. Hang on a second. Number one is you have to know that the Rambam says clearly in Hilchos Purim that there are people which wear, men that wear ladies' clothes for, because of Simchas Purim and vice versa. And the Rambam says it's okay because the intention is for Simcha. It's not to look like a lady. Okay? The Maisa, the Taz, Kamari and Kupi Aleph in Yeridea, they all disagree with this remark, and they say it's not a heta because you're intending to do it for Simcha. I want to suggest, according to the remark, you could say the same thing. Hey, a person's not intending for to look like a lady, man. She's doing so for the health reasons. But the Maisa, the Taz, they're not happy with this remark. So that's number one, it's not so geshmak. Number two is the Prima Godem says that for one beged, it would be okay to wear one beged of the to wear one beged would be okay. So over here, if it's one beged, that would be a heta to wear a beged ish. That would be another heta. The main heta, which Rav Simcha mentioned, is that if she would wear it underneath her cardigan, so then underneath her jumper, that definitely would certainly be okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to say, Rav Moshe Feinstein Taka says that if it's not noticeable, it's under the garment, that would be okay. It wouldn't be a isav lisa bash. One beggar, the Prima Godem says, because then it's nikah. Yeah, it's the same as the Prima Godem wants to say that if all the other begodim a person wears is ish, and only one beggar is of a lady, then there won't be an issa.
Wait, so we just got to. Scotland bodies, can you wear a Scottish kilt?
Oh, yeah, they do.
It's a beggar dish.
Oh, so that goes into a big shout, yeah. Yeah, that opens a big topic about Lady Silbash. So that's when you get to pajamas, when girls and ladies want to wear pajamas, which are trousers. That's a very big topic. Next one is Marka. We're going to Kisivni by Chodosh, Vasisa Marka the Gagacha. Each one of these is 25 minute topic. I'm sorry, Marka can spend ages on his roadside. We have to remember the Chiddush, which we said many times when we get to Marka, a Triple Falk, many years ago, 55 years ago, wrote a Shuvah and Max Eliyahu about this. And that is when it comes to Marka, we think of Marka when a person has, I don't know what, he's got two levels. When does a person think it's relevant Marka to him? But every single house that a person has, most houses, when you go up the stairs, there is no chiyuv to put a banist on. Listen to this. When you go up the stairs, the sefri in this week's parasha Tzitzit, it says, gag, eini elo gag, how do I know who had in Beiris? So the Gemara said, the sefri dashens who had in Beiris. Why does it say gag? To say, la'afuke, not a kevesh. A ramp, there's no chiyuv to put a marker on a ramp or a staircase. Just take that as a sefri this week's parasha. However, Zot the Chayodom, when a person comes to the top of the staircase and you've got a landing, any regular normal size house would have a normal landing, which at least a little bit of it, when you come to the top stair and now you're by the landing, you turn left and now you can see, you can drop down. So there's a chiyuv marker. So you're going to say, what's my problem? I'm even more machmi. I've got my banister that goes all the way up the stairs. I don't even need that mikadin, right? And then it goes round and it covers me. Listen. How high does a marker have to be? Ten tefachim. How much is ten tefachim? According to Rabbi Chaim Lois, 86 centimeters. Now, the way we do it here in England, 86 centimeters is 90. We do it better than 90. 88, we had last time a builder that told us it was 88. 90 centimeters high is a regular banister. The Chazanish held that 10 tefachim is how high? 96 centimeters. Some of Machmir even 98 when it comes to the rises. At least 96 centimeters. The Chazon Ish held that 10 centimetres is 96 centimetres. You go to any random person's house and tell them, can I please go upstairs a second? I need to collect something, whatever. Yeah, whatever, whenever it's appropriate. You go upstairs and then you have a look at the landing, and the landing is bound to be 90 or less centimetres. Which we discussed, the Kun to the Chazon Ish. Imagine you have the Chazon Ish coming to your house. You look at your staircase and say, hang on a second, you haven't got a marker. Where's your marker? Stay in this week's parasha, kisivne ba'ez chodesh, fasis a marker l'gagecho, and you haven't got a marker. Yes, according to Reb Chaim, no, you have got a marker, but according to the Chazon Ish, two builders have told me in town, that they are often called to people to say, please, can you add another layer just to make up for till 100? They want to be safe, 100 centimeters high, they add a nice plank, they make it look nice, and they've told me they've done it to quite a lot of people in town. So that's an interesting point which Rabbi Falk writes in his Truva, that a person should try and be machmir when it comes to Shail of the Raisa. I'll be to the next one, or we're just going to cut short and go to the next one. Do you know what? I'm going to have to leave it for later if there's time. But Yom Matis and Schore is the halacha, a famous halacha, that if a person has a worker, that this worker has worked for him that day, there's a mitzvah, when I tell you to pay him. I just want to mention, I don't want to be marach about this, I just want to mention a very interesting point that the Chofetz Chaim writes. You know, the way he gives an introduction to the halacha. Again, you have to remember, it's only relevant to the main three things, I believe, is relevant to a babysitter that comes to do a service. She babysits, she charges £5 now, and then you say, oh, I'm just out of pocket, I haven't got £5. So then you say, can I pay tomorrow? Obviously, there's a bittul asay and there's a lav as well. So these sort of things is very relevant. What's going to get to a shaitel macha? It's very, very common. You go to a shaitel macha, please can you do it for me? You come and collect it, £25. Yeah, can I pay tomorrow? Can I pay a bank transfer? The time you get it done, it's the next day. And that is extremely common. I just know because I happen to know that it's extremely common. That a haircut, you have a haircut, people go around to other older girls to do haircuts. How much do you charge? £7, £10. Okay, I'll drop in tomorrow. These things are, I mean, it's like, you know how I look at it? The Chofetz Chaim says, have you ever seen, his Loshon is, he says, ha'im ro'iso, have you ever seen, Chofetz Chaim is like asking you, ha'im ro'iso le'echad mi'Yisrael, have you ever seen anyone in Yisrael, she'aniach me'levorech al ha'shefa v'alulav, that she'll leave the shefa v'alulav ad alaylo? You don't leave it, you do in the morning, you do in the day. You don't wait till the night time to blow shofar. You don't blow shofar at night, right? So too, when it comes to paying someone on time, now it's only a service, right? It's only a service that you're expected to pay that day. Most services are not included in this, the mitzvah and the lavin. Because when you go to a regular service, the person comes, an electrician, and charges you a £150 job, a big job. A regular job, which is over £100, usually is invoiced. And an invoice allows you about 7 days, 14 days, depending on the person and the business, right? And that's not included in what the Torah is talking about. The Torah is talking about when cash is demanded by the end of the service. That's definitely included. So the only things I can think of is really, really, on a regular basis, is babysitting and haircutting, those sort of services where it's a quick job and you expect it to pay straight away. That's a very, very, very serious. I think it's extremely important. And you should know what's very important is, that just like when it comes to Pesach, we don't come into Pesach and say, I haven't got matzahs, so I can't eat matzah. Obviously, we make sure we have matzahs. It comes to Arab Aminim, we don't just not buy Arab Aminim when it comes to Sukkot, so I haven't got. Obviously, you prepare yourself. So too, I find the same thing. The main struggle that I have with it is when I don't have the money. So then, it's a whole to-do. And that's when we mentioned the Chai Odom writes, you know where he wrote a will? The Chai Odom wrote a will. So what do we put in our will? We put the money things, or the money issues, right? The Chai Odom wrote in his will, says children should be very, very careful with this halacha of paying a worker on time. And even if you have to miss mincha, let's say 6:30 is mincha, the last mincha, and the maisa, you've got just about enough time to go to the cash machine, take out £10, and then give her the £10. Zot the Chai Odom, even so, you should be mevatel mincha. That's one line there. He writes in his savor. And even if you have vafidikashit zitzorich levatel tzvilas mincha, babuzeh, it's mutzav shlele ispalil, because he's alive in a mitzvah. So it's definitely... Oh, that's it. That's exactly. You mean, what's the shayla? You should know. I had the same thoughts. You know, there's this meisah that you say that they all bring down this meisah of Yashav. When one of his children were niftar, one of his daughters were niftar, so straight after the levaya, he went back and he went to pay the person that installed something in his house. Right? Straight after. So everyone brought it as Rav Elyashiv, a Modiger Meiser, that straight after his daughter's Levaya, he went to pay. I used to be very, like, it's a very inspiring story. I mean, really, I'm not really inspired these days about it, because it's pretty basic. What should he do? Go home and not pay? Obel is chayav b'mitzvahs. Like, what's his options? Is there another option? So obviously, like, it wasn't much of a... It used to be inspiration, but now, Baruch Hashem, I don't see it as another option. You know, the person came along, he came along and did a mitzvah, he did a service, he went home, and now he needs to be paid. So that's a pretty basic... I tell you what, electrician, the truth is, you're right, if they come for a small job... If they come for a small job, usually a plumber comes along and starts installation. It's going to be 110 quid before you turn around, right? And then it's expected, usually, they don't expect you to pay on the spot. If the case is different, doesn't matter. If the derech ha'olam, the way people are paid for such high jobs, yeah, even a car, they're, nothing's less than £100, right? So then they invoice you, and then on a regular invoice in this country, at least in regular places, they give you at least 7 days, as far as I know. So if that's the case, then there's no mitzvah. It doesn't exist, the mitzvah. There's nothing there. If you pay that day, the pricing. Even if they invoice you that day, the fact is.
It was 7 days' time.
Gornish. Nothing. There's nothing. It's finished. It's gornish. The mitzvah is to pay the day that he's finished the work, and he's expecting that money that day. That's when it's there. Only then. Only when it's expected. That's the mitzvah of the
Torah.
Once it becomes the regular... There's no mitzvah. Once it's normal to pay within 7 days, once you've got the allowance of 7 days, it's gone. Really it should, but once it becomes... Yeah, it's once that's become the norm in business, right? A person's an electrician, he comes along and he fixes the box and he charges you £85, the cool out and the this and the service and that and all the parts. And if he usually sends you an invoice for this, there's no mitzvah to pay that. It's a kedai to pay that day, maybe. Right? That could be. Locksmith, that's a good point. Locksmith, if the type of business is like a locksmith, they charge you £35 for being there for unlocking the thingy, that tucker, then you'd have to pay straight away. There's no invoice. Usually, by locksmith, there's no invoices. That's a fair point. Yeah, that's a good thing. Oh, okay. I suppose we'll just have to end off with the last point, is b'negia to a very interesting thing, that the Ramah, that we know when it comes to before Purim, then there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Zochar. So the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zochar is to remember the Maisa Amol, Melchemes Amolek. And that is a mitzvah that Seder d'oraisa we do once a year, which is usually the week or two before Purim. That's when we do the mitzvah of Zochar. We do the Pasha Zohar. Okay, so now it's interesting that this coming year, there you go, the Chasam Sefer. This coming year, Mitz Hashem, Habar Leinu L'Teva, there's going to be two Adars. Okay, extra Simcha. There are going to be two Adars this coming year. And really, if you make a Cheshbon, that from last year, when we did Zohar, till the next time we do Zohar, because Zohar is always done the second Adar, if you count how many months there'll be in between, there'll be 13 months. And says the Chasam Sefer, Maram Sheik brings this in Tariyat Mitzvahs. He says from his Rebbe, the Chasam Sefer, he says that 13 months, that's Shikha. After 12 months, a person forgets things. When the Torah says that we have to remember the Maisa Amalek, that's when we do it every year. Very nice. But when it comes to Ibayah, and it's going to pass 12 months, it's going to pass into 13 months towards Zohar. So then, when it comes to Adar Rishon, then we are not remembering. You hear that, Chumra? Says the Chasam Sofer, says Maram Sheik from the Chasam Sofer, that when it comes to Kiseite this year, right, the Kiseite where we lay in Zohar at the end of the parasha, you should be mechaven again to be mechaven the mitzvah of the mechaven samolik. You hear that, Chumra? Because there's going to be more than 12 months in between. Therefore, he says to be mechaven when we read Zohar. What's the lashon? Zochay. What do we say? Zochay is hashor. Yeah. What's the lashon? Zochay is hashor. So how amolik, right? When we say the mafde, we should be mechaven to be mekayim the mitzvah of the chiz as chiz amolik. So maybe the ma'aser the divrei yoel. The others say no. In a case where it's an ibya, then your memory also gets longer. Your memory goes for 13 months. that's not so clear, because you shall know when it comes to Avelos, it's also it's 12 months, it's not 13 months. Okay, so the Maisa, it's a Chumrah which you might find some people do. Oh, it's just interesting to know that there is a certain Chasam Sofer who says this year, when it comes to Zachar Yesha Shasach, when it comes to Mahdi, there's a matter to be Mechavim when it comes to Mahdi. Go ahead. Yeah, I think they do that actually.